The 2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Amart Furniture's mid-season sale is ending. Rush in today for a great deal.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Jeez, this is good mail.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
Triple M Footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
I might do this show nude.
To keep these two in check.
You're in much better fitness level than Joey and I.
Well, definitely Joey.
Hey. Or not. Fox Footy, Sarah Ollie.
Abs are made in winter.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome back to another edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay, Joey and Sarah Ollie. Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Morning, Sarah. Going well, thank you.
Hello, Joey. Nice new jumper for you, mate. I haven't seen that one in your repertoire before.
Thank you. I did go shopping during the week. Yeah. I popped into Chadston. Yeah. First time in a long time I've been there. Where are we? Isn't that a big joint?
How'd you find it?
I looked it up in the Melways and then tell you what, finding a car spot was worse. It was mayhem, but I had to, because Mother's Day tomorrow,
yes.
Jay, Erin, first Mother's Day. Great. So I had to make sure I went and got something special. Hope she's not listening. She hasn't listened to the show, so doesn't know that I went to Chadston. No, I'm not telling you what I've got. Someone might be listening and might tell her. So I'm not going to say what I've got, but I went and actually put a bit of thought and effort into it. Her first Mother's Day. So
is it a present for you or a present for her?
No, for Erin. Definitely, definitely.
What about you, Jay? You organised for
tomorrow? Yeah, we did the mad dash out to the DFO, Essendon DFO with the youngsters and sort of got things
organised. Hang on, organized. You said we, so did you go with your wife? So you didn't pick it on your own?
No, myself and
kids.
Took the kids.
Two of my three children. Ah. Yeah, so we did that together, nice sort of family activity.
Yep.
All good. I am all organised. Yep.
You, but, Sarah?
But people, we say good luck to all the...
Yes. Yep. It can be a bit of a frenzy, can it?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to Kisumi tomorrow with Mum for lunch, which will be lovely.
Nice
but
one.
When we were trying to organise a present with my sister and I, Rebecca, she suggested that we perhaps get some painting equipment, an easel and some brushes, because Mum's quite into painting. I said, sure, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Good idea.
And she goes, great. Aldi have got a sale on at the moment.
Come on, Rebecca.
She wanted to go to Aldi to get Mum's present.
Your bargain style Mother's Day gift.
Yeah. Save that, give me a spell for later.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. Don't worry, Mum, if you're tuning in, that didn't happen. But we've got a big show coming up, don't we, guys?
Happening.
So much to talk about. Yeah. The Swans 5-point win over the Dons last night. Calm the Bloods. But that really wasn't the talking point. We'll get to that. Dane Rampey shaking the posts. Plus, lots of soccer chat, basketball chat. It's going to be a big show.
Soccer, I tell you what. I mean, I'm not a massive soccer fan, but if you're a sports fan and you do like being across the soccer, there has been plenty happening this week. Can't wait to talk to Dave Davutovic, your good mate, later, Jay.
Yep.
Were you a best man at his wedding?
I wasn't best man, but I was.
You were invited
there.
To the wedding.
Is that a Croatia? Sour taste there.
10 days in Croatia.
Oh, wow.
That's all right,
isn't
it?
That's a nice place for a wedding.
Right up there. It was outstanding. Yeah. Better than my own wedding. No, just kidding. Kidding. My wife will be listening. I loved our wedding.
Now, guys, big game last night. The Swans getting up over the Dons by 5 points. But it really was an incident after the siren, Jay. Yep. Which is the big talking point. So we've got the Dons, David Myers, lining up for an unlikely goal about 65 metres out.
Yep, too far.
If he kicks it, they win
because
they're 5 points down. Dane Rampey takes it upon himself to become Spider-Man, climbs up the goalpost. The umpire tells him to get down not once but twice. He gets down and David Myers, he doesn't make the distance.
Yep.
But should this have been a free kick by the letter of the law?
Yeah, the big takeaway is that Dane Rampey thinks he's Spider-Man, which was a really strange move, to be honest. But I've just spoken to the AFL and they have given the tick to the decision.
No,
given it the all clear not to pay the free kick. So by the letter of the law, you look at the AFL rulebook and it says that this is absolutely a free kick and Essendon should have taken the shot, Joey and Sarah, from the goal line.
Yep.
Point blank range. By the letter of the law, the Bombers should have won last night. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
How did the AFL tick that off then?
Well, this is where the feel of the game comes into it, Sarah and Joey. I spoke to them, but they are aware that the public want the umpires to have a bit of confidence common sense, a bit of feel of the game. So they say in that situation, the umpire, Andre Gianfagna, showed sensibility to say to Dane Rampey, come down, get down from there, Spider-Man. Rampey did that, and then and it didn't have an impact to the game. So while technically it was a free kick, the AFL are happy that he showed a bit of feel for the game there. And I think we've got the audio, do we, Rosie? This is what the umpire said to Dane Rampey last night, and he acted upon it. So Spider-Man climbs back down, but you don't like that, Joey.
Well, it's a blatant free kick.
Yep.
It's a blatant free kick. And if the umpires do come out today and tick it off and say, no, we made the right decision, they're going to lose the fans because it was a blatant free kick. I think they'll get more respect off the fans if they come out and say, you know what, that should have been a free kick. If that happens today, Jay, if yep. that, let's say today in the St Kilda West Coast game, Joshy Bruce climbs the goalpost, what do you think they're going to do? Will they call a free kick or they say, no, that's fine because it happened last night?
Got to give them a verbal warning. That's the precedent, that's I guess.
It's a free kick. And every player knows that you so can't shake or climb a goalpost.
You're saying Dane Rampey knows that rule?
Well, he should have known the rule. He clearly didn't because he wouldn't have done it if he knew it was a rule. But you should know. It's a blatant one that you can't shake or climb the goalpost when a player's having a shot for goal.
Yeah.
So that was obvious to me that you cannot do that. And that's a free kick. Now, to say in that instance, oh, we're showing a bit of common sense, you can argue that for every single free kick paid or rule in the game.
Yeah, got to be clear.
I think they missed it. I think at the spur of the moment, the pressure of the situation for that umpire got the better of him. He didn't want to make a big call at the big moment.
Yeah.
But that's okay because umpires make mistakes, right? You get some right, you get some wrong. But what I'll be most disappointed about if the umpires come out and say, no, we tick off on it. It didn't affect the kick. We had a feel for the game.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
On it. Yep.
Yeah, well, that's going to upset the fans. That's going to upset the fans because I think fans would rather the umpires come out and say, you know what? That's a blatant free kick. The umpire at the spur of the moment didn't call it. Yep. We got it wrong. If it happens again and any other player does it for the rest of the season or over the next 10 years, it'll be a free kick.
Yeah.
And that's what would they earn respect. I just don't like when they're going to tick off on these things because with the way that our game's officiated, you can technically get everything, you know, you can technically argue every free kick was either there or wasn't there. You can make common sense, but the umpires don't always umpire with common sense. They umpire to the letter of the law. If you take half a step over the mark, it's a 50-metre penalty. If you take half a step over the square coming in, it's a free kick at a centre bounce. That doesn't affect the outcome of a game. That doesn't affect anything, but the umpires pay them. So I think they've got to come out and be strong and say it was a mistake. The umpire missed it, spur of the moment, and let's move on.
Very fired up there, Joey. I like it. And it'll be interesting to see if the MRO comes out and makes a fine there because there could be sanctions for that. But, Jay, something else that was brought to attention last night also after the siren was Myers and the captain, Heppel, smiling.
Yep.
Some fans aren't happy that they're smiling after a loss.
Well, Essendon's season's in trouble, really, in a bit of a tailspin at 3-5. We thought they'd make a good start to the season. They need to be playing finals, but it was an interesting look for the captain of Essendon, Dyson Heppel, to go over to David Myers, pat him on the shoulder and sort of have a bit of a half smile, a bit of a laugh, Joey. Are we reading too much into this? Because, you know, I think as an Essendon fan, you're pretty disappointed that you just lost a game that you would have been expected to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from a leader, should he have conveyed a different image at that point?
I don't think so. Again, we read way too much into all this on a football field. It was like last week with Chad Wingard and the Hawthorn and Jared Roughhead, you know, discussing a situation on the field that we try and make out there's an issue. They had a bit of a moment where David Myers almost winked at Heppel and almost sort of said, you know what, even I'm a big kick, but even that was a bit too far for me. A bit of a chuckle, like, yeah, you're right, you know, you had a crack, and that's it. That doesn't mean they're not disappointed, they're not shattered, they don't understand where their season's at.
Joey, it didn't look like it.
But it's not about the look, it's about how they feel.
Well, how do we know how they feel? We're seeing them smiling and laughing after a gut-wrenching loss.
We learned this from Bernie Vince a couple of years ago when everyone kicked up a stick about Bernie Vince smiling after a loss to Geelong, and we found out that him and Dangerfield, who were good friends, had a moment about, you know, his dad in the crowd. So to try and read too much into this, it does my head in. If anyone goes hard at Heppel or Myers for having a moment, and it was literally a three-second moment where they had a bit of a chuckle, up, you know, that was good effort, Myers, but
you're in the players' code here, aren't you?
That's who it should be for. It's the players. I mean, you can't turn on Dyson Heppel. Dyson Heppel's last quarter was amazing on the weekend. He was awesome in the last quarter.
You should read more into that.
Absolutely. Dyson Heppel's last quarter was huge.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, Jay and Joey are still going at it.
Jay's
over
got
the
his,
smiling incident.
Jay's got his journalist hat on, trying to make a big issue of a paused photo of Dyson Heppel with
a smile.
Who,
Dyson.
By the way, Dyson Heppel's second half was unbelievable. You should look at their actions, Jay, not their a little smile as they're walking off the ground. Look at his actions. His last quarter.
Essendon
was
fans
huge.
Got steam coming out of their ears, Joey. And I just, you know, he looks happy there, Dyson. And I'm not sure it's such a great. What
he
would
looks
Ross?
Ha- he looks
what
happy.
Would Ross Lyon
he looks happy, does he?
What would Ross Lyon have said as he'd walked into the change rooms if you'd been out there giggling and laughing and doing all that stuff after a loss?
Don't
what
make
would he
out, don't exaggerate it and say giggling and laughing. You know what Ross Lyon would say?
What would he have said?
If he would know how much it hurt if we lost and we played our heart out. Absolutely, he would.
What's he saying,
Joey? I saw you out there.
Condone
you're
the
laughing.
Player.
Nah, not if we had a crack.
Condone the behaviour, back the player. That's
not if
what
we
Rossi
had a crack.
Says.
And Dyson Heppel was enormous in that last quarter.
Enormous, but not big enough, Joey, because Essendon now are just 3 wins to the start of the season. They're out of the 8.
Yep.
And now they're only a game ahead of the Swans. Yep. What did you make of last night's performance?
You know what? Going into the game, I actually thought it was a danger game. I thought there was just something about me that thought the Swans were due to put in a strong performance. Essendon, I'm still not convinced about. I haven't been convinced with Essendon all year. I know when they won their 3 games, Sarah, they beat a Brisbane team, the MCG, who were off that day.
Yep.
They beat a North Melbourne team who were very ordinary that day. And they won a shootout against Melbourne, who earlier in the year, Melbourne couldn't have be playing much worse. So their 3 wins weren't very convincing. So they still hadn't proved to me that they could beat the top teams. Anzac Day, I thought, turned the corner a little bit because I thought they were much more competitive. They played a much better brand of football and they competed hard around the contest and were very good, but ultimately didn't get the win. And since then, they've lost another 2 games. So I just think for me, Essendon are a middle-of-the-road team. That's where I see them.
You had them in your 8, though.
Had them 7th, them in just because
that's
I thought they
eight, yes.
Yeah, it is because I thought they had enough talent in on their list
yeah.
that I looked at them and thought, and the way I said it at the start of the year, there were 4 or 5 teams that I thought could win the premiership.
Yep.
I didn't have Essendon as one of them, but I thought they were due to make the finals because of their talent.
Yep.
But I think their system lets them down a little bit. I think they're a bit of a team that have got a lot of talent but don't quite play the system and style of football to win consistently week in, week out.
Without peeing in your pocket, Joey, that is an alarm bell for me if I'm an Essendon fan. If you're saying that their system is not one that's going to win them, get to the finals and win games of finals football, then I want to change in that system. If I'm an Essendon fan, I'm not happy with that at all. Yes, they are missing Joe Danaher, and yes, Dylan Shield was tagged out of it, but I think this club has escaped a lot of the scrutiny, Essendon, and it's time in the second half of the season. The conversation about John Worsfold, etc., I think is very real. Over the rest of the season, they've got to prove that that coaching administration deserves the chance to go again next year, because over the first, 8 rounds, I'm not seeing them. Look at the next 3 rounds they've got, Sarah and Joey. They've got Freo at home, Richmond, Dreamtime game at the G, and Carlton. Now, if Essendon don't win 2 of those 3 games, then they're off track.
They should be expecting to win all 3 of them. So let's assess Essendon in 3 weeks after that, because they might win those 3 games. I'm not sure even if they win those 3 games, if that would still convince me that they're a legitimate, you know, top 4 team. As I said, I think they still might win enough games to sneak into the 8. But just from what I see and looking at the way that the strong teams are playing with their system defensively behind the ball, the style of football.
And the list is good, Joey.
They've got a really good list. But there's something, as you said, I think everyone agrees in the football, there's something still missing with Essendon. Mentally, a bit of mentally, there's something.
They're smiling after their loss.
And a bit of system. You're not going to let up on that, are you, Joe?
When was their last finals win? 19...
Early 2000s. Yeah. Wasn't it?
2004, wasn't it?
2004.
Yeah, so 2004.
So that's a long time.
Yep.
I think do they win last night if Danaher's playing? Because they seem to have that kind of disconnect going forward.
Oh, no, you can't answer that. I'm not sure. I don't know if they would have won or lost. But you know what? Really good teams, and the teams that are top 4 challengers, they win even if they're missing some key players. And we see it with other clubs. You should be able to miss 2 or 3 of your key players and still be able to win.
Yep.
And Essendon, against a Sydney team that, you know, everyone's gone to the SCG and beaten them lately, the Bombers let one slip, absolutely.
Yep. What did you like about the young Swans last night, Joey?
Well, there was a bit of a silver lining with Buddy Franklin not playing, and that was the opportunity to see McCartan and Blakey in the forward line without Buddy Franklin there. It meant that they had to stand up. Blakey was excellent. Tommy McCartan showed some nice signs. He's going to be a good player. I like Will Haywood.
Yeah.
So you start to look at the Sydney forward line and you go, you know what, there is life without Buddy Franklin there in a couple of years. There's some young talent. Still got to find a bit more young talent through the midfield. But Sydney, you know, they are in a rebuild and they're going to phase these older players out, you know, the McVays and Grundys and Kieran Jacks, etc. And these young kids will keep getting more games.
So it's the second win of the year, the first one at the SCG for the Swans. But Jay, only 26,000 people turned up on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's an issue for, I think, the whole league. They'd be mindful of trying to keep that support strong in Sydney. So, and the Swans, I mean, I think they did a pretty good job this week of trying to pump up the game. It was a big Friday night in Sydney. So it's a big watch for me just to see how much this crowd, etc., drops off, because we've heard a lot that Sydney has a bit of a fickle crowd. So
I wonder if Buddy played, if he get more, if Buddy Franklin was playing, whether it would tick over 30,000.
Probably.
I reckon it absolutely would add thousands to the attendance.
I agree.
Maybe. Anyway.
Now, it's been a massive week, boys, for the round ball sport. And to talk us through everything that's been going on, Dave Davidovic from the Herald Sun joins us. Dave, thanks for coming on the show.
A pleasure, guys.
Now, last night, Perth became the first team through to the A-League final, Dave. Can you talk us through the match? Because it was very long and full of heaps of surprises.
Sarah, it was absolutely bonkers last night. I don't know where to start, to be honest. I mean, Glory had it in the bag, 2-0 up, you know, finished on top comfortably this season. And then, you know, Adelaide, you've got to give them credit. They came off a really short turnaround and scored two late goals at the death, took it into extra time. Again, you think that Perth have got it in the bag, go 3-2 up. Adelaide players cramping, and then they jag a late equaliser to take it into a penalty shootout, and that wasn't straightforward either. Probably one of the most dramatic, absolutely the most dramatic penalty shootout of the A-League era. There was a stage there where no one wanted to score, no one could score. The keepers stood up. They were immense. In the end, Glory got through and they'll host the grand final.
It was absolutely compelling, Dave. I was sitting on the edge of my couch last night, mate.
Is there more dramatic? Is there a more dramatic or intense finish in any sport than a penalty shootout?
It's good, isn't it?
When you think about it, I mean, you maybe think the last few holes are the Masters, but a penalty shootout, everyone is like, oh my God.
But the goalkeepers were outstanding. Liam Reddy and Paul Izzo. Was that just a phenomenal goalkeeping performance, particularly, you know, guessing which way, etc.? Or did the spot kickers just absolutely stuff it up?
Well, as you say, boys, it's drama because it is almost completely unjust, a penalty shootout to decide the winner in a game. I mean, it's literally a lottery. So, you know, Tony Popovich was asked after the game, the Glory coach. I mean, he's probably the most meticulous coach in the A-League. Adam Peacock from Fox Sports goes, mate, you are meticulous. How much planning did you put into the penalty shootout? He said, zero. So, you know, you can put all the planning you want into it, but after 120 minutes when you've got two blokes cramping and another one who's on one leg, it was one of the Adelaide boys, Konstantopoulos, who literally was hobbling around. He ended up stepping up to take a penalty and he missed. So, and then you had Liam Reddy, the Glory keeper, step up to take his own penalty. So it was absolute chaos. But look, you've got to give, it's a really tough one. I mean, you've got to give the keepers credit. You know, they obviously do their homework, but really tough for the players to step up. I mean, even Diego Castro, you know, one of the greats, you know, and dominated that game, steps up, misses a penalty. Then you get little Jakey Brimmer, a 20-year-old from Melbourne, you know, who comes in, if he misses, Adelaide United goes to the grand final and he puts it away. So, yeah, heroes can be made and villains also.
We're speaking to the Herald Sun's Dave Davidovic, the number one soccer writer in the country. Now, our Melbourne victory, Dave, they take on Sydney FC tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. What chance do you give our Melbourne victory? How do they need to play to get the win over the Sydney side?
Yeah, big chance, Jay-Z. Look, they're away, but that's offset by the fact that they've beaten Sydney FC twice. They beat them at this same venue in round five. This should have been played at the SCG, but the SCG has a cricket pitch in the middle, which isn't ideal for soccer. They found that out about 5 or 6 weeks ago. So, look, Jubilee Stadium is a nice little compact venue. The players will love it. But, yeah, they've got, you know, big players for big occasions, headlined by Ola Toivonen and Keisuke Honda. They're international stars who just played at the most recent FIFA World Cup and they dominated last week, and I can't promise you the same drama of last night, but there will definitely be physicality and drama.
Absolutely.
In tomorrow night.
Always is when those two sides play each other. Now, Dave, what about overseas soccer or football? Because it has been a dramatic week. Now, let's start with the Premier League. There's a final round of Premier League action this week. And basically, to sum it up for people listening, is Liverpool and Manchester City can both win it. Liverpool could finish on 97 points and still not win the title. Explain to us how it's going to come down to the final weekend and what you expect to happen.
Yeah, they've lost one game all season, Liverpool, and it'd just be extraordinary if they don't win the title. I was just talking to your producer, Ryan, one of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of nervous Liverpool fans around Australia, although they are up and about after their stunning Champions League win during the week. But look, tomorrow night, the beauty of it is all the games kick off at the same time, so there is guaranteed drama. Ebbs and flows tomorrow night. I think it's midnight our time, Eastern time. So you've got Liverpool at home to Wolves, who are a decent side but got nothing to play for. Then you've got Manchester City away to Brighton and Hove Albion. Now, they've avoided relegation, but they'll want to finish the season strongly. In addition to that, they've got Socceroos keeper Matt Ryan in goal, so he has the opportunity to become an absolute icon, a legend.
For all Liverpool fans.
With all Liverpool fans, if he does the business tomorrow night.
So he needs to keep Manchester City to either a defeat or a draw, and Liverpool win, and then Liverpool will have their first title in how long, Dave? When was the last time Liverpool? 1989 since Liverpool, this great side's won a Premier League title. So any Liverpool fan, I know Rabs will be there sitting up at midnight tomorrow night.
Now, for any soccer fans and you're wanting some sort of Champions League finals tickets, hit Dave up on Twitter. He's got a heap. I know you've got your connections, Dave, so email him at the Herald Sun. If you send in a handwritten letter, I reckon you might even get the best ticket. So
put me in the queue, please, Dave.
He's got hundreds of them. Give him lots of Twitter feedback for Dave.
Good on you, Jay. I've got about 20 messages to get back to as it is.
Hey, before we let you go, just quickly, question without notice, probably a difficult one, but you are the number one soccer writer in the game. Who has been the A-League's best player ever?
Look, Thomas Broich has been a star, old Brisbane Roar player. Archie Thompson, Kevin Muscat, the local boys, certainly been in there. A guy who was outside the top three at the start of the season, I'd say Diego Castro. I mentioned him earlier. If Perth Glory wins the grand final and he, you know, performs well next week, he goes right up there into the top three, potentially number one. He's just been an absolute superstar. Watch this guy play. He's an absolute gun. Has the ball on a string.
And Dave, real quickly before we let you go, we've got to wrap up. But tell us about Clarkie here, Jay-Z's soccer exploits at lunchtime. He rates himself as a bit of a striker. Is he any good?
It didn't have a great game.
Look, big ticker, Lee. Big ticker, big application. Yep. In terms of execution.
No ability.
Compare him to. remember the old St Kilda player, Jason Daniel?
Yeah, just a real workhorse.
One of the worst kicks in AFL, VFL history. So.
Andrew Carrazzo, they used to call me.
Very good.
And he's a bit chirpy as well.
We can imagine. Thanks so much for your time, Dave. You're a great man to come on the show.
Thanks. All the best, guys.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard time, Jay, Sarah, and there's plenty of basketball happening. The NBA Finals are well and truly underway. Golden State Warriors in Houston. Game 6 is about to start in the next half an hour. It's huge,
Joey.
In Houston, they are down 3-2. The Golden State Warriors have lost their best player, Kevin Durant, to a calf strain.
Yep.
DeMarcus Cousins not playing. If the Houston Rockets want to get past this almighty Golden State Warriors team, they must win today at home to take it to Game 7. This is their big chance.
Paul Pierce, Chris Paul. It's James Harden's biggest game of his career.
He does need to get it. This could be his legacy. I mean, if he has a bad game and they get beaten again without Durant, it's bad news. But if he can turn it on, can't wait for that. Our Philadelphia 76ers, Ben Simmons and the boys bounced back yesterday with a strong win over Toronto to take that to Game 7 on Monday morning. Ben Simmons was brilliant with 21 points. Under a bit of scrutiny over there in Philly, copping it a bit, but he bounced back and put in a terrific performance. Portland also bounced back against the Denver Nuggets. That's been an unbelievable series. Epic. That's also tied at 3-3. So that Game 7 will be tomorrow. And of course, the Milwaukee Bucks are the team sitting back, sitting pretty at the moment. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the big Greek freak. They are through. They'll they'll play the winner of Philly and Toronto in their Game 7. But plenty of NBA news. Plenty happening. Houston, Golden State up soon. Can't wait for that one.
Plenty of happening. Thanks there, Joey. Now, coming up in the next hour, we've got Jay's Pick 1, which we know everyone is looking forward to, Jay.
Do you want to hear it now, Joey?
Are you going to tease us?
Give a bit of a taste.
Quick, what is it?
Joey, have a think about this. Who's going to win the wooden spoon, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Carlton, North Melbourne, Gold Coast,
yep.
and Sarah. Who is a better player? Who's going to be a better player? Ollie Florent or Callum Mills?
I like it. I like it a lot. I'll stew on it. Also coming up, NBL legend Lenard Copeland. And straight after us from midday, it's The Rub. JB, BT, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless and Damian Barrett ahead of a massive rivalry game between Collingwood and Carlton at the MCG.
And Sarah, if you love a great deal on stylish furniture, which I know you
do,
Amart's furniture mid-season sale is ending soon. With prices this low, you'll be saying, I got it at Amart.
Hopefully.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Everyone's been waiting for it. Pick one.
Yeah,
take us away.
It's a curly question. Well, I like to stump you both with something really difficult, and I don't want you to sit on the fence, Joey. All right,
Never do.
Answer, right? And your task for today's episode was, who is going to win the wooden spoon? You got Carlton down there, North Melbourne down there, Gold Coast there, Sydney good win last night. Who was going to win the wooden spoon?
Well, this
spoon,
is a good question, Jay, because Carlton are obviously the only team on one win. Melbourne, North Melbourne and Sydney have got two wins, and then the Gold Coast have actually got three wins. So they're two wins up on Carlton. I don't want to say Carlton because I like the way they're going about their football. I think they'll win a lot of games.
Any danger of an answer, Joe?
Which team will, you know what? Oh,
get
man.
The splinters out of your ass. Come on.
I'm gonna have to stick with Gold Coast, maybe.
Okay.
Which is so Carlton, I think, will win another three or four games. Yeah. Gold Coast might win one more. I'm going to still stick with the Gold Coast Suns, even though they've got two games up on Carlton at the moment.
Lock in a Gold Coast. That's the longest answer to
it was probably one of your
so
better
far.
Pick ones.
Thank you, Joey. Sarah, I got one for you. You're a big Sydney fan.
I am.
Who would you prefer, Ollie Florent or Callum Mills, who's just come off the boil a little bit?
He has hit a flat spot.
There's something not quite right, MQR, with Callum at the moment. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I'm going with Ollie Florent.
Oh,
I think
I like
he's got
it.
A bit more polish.
Yes.
He's a beautiful runner, really good in front of goal.
Beautiful man.
But what's going on with Mills there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Down on confidence or something.
Should he play midfield or halfback?
No, I think he's a halfback. I think play him across halfback. That's where he'll be. He's a perfect halfback flanker. I would still take Callum Mills. I think if I could give St Kilda advice or who they trade for, I'd probably still go Callum Mills over Ollie Florent. But you're right, he has hit a flat spot. I've got one for you guys, both of you. Okay. And it's pick one.
Yep.
Airfares and accommodation paid for.
Ooh.
The Maldives or Vegas?
Oh, boy.
But here's the caveat. You have to take your partner.
Oh boy.
I'm definitely going to the Maldives.
You're going to the Maldives?
Yeah, I don't have to think about that for 1 second.
I thought you would have taken Vegas. So Maldives?
You got to go Vegas, don't you? You've got to roll with dice.
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, no, you've. I mean, we've all swam in the... We've done that.
Are you thinking of
Jane
in this or are you just thinking of yourself?
I haven't done it.
Probably a little bit selfish here, but I think she'd enjoy the casino.
Airfares and accommodation paid for. Vegas or Maldives with your partner? Quick.
Vegas, go see the Killers, all the shows.
Maldives.
Okay, right. Good one. I like that.
Right, old scuba diving Sarah Ollie over here. Real tropical swim style.
Yeah, I like the fish. Hey, guys, last week we were talking about, in pick one, the humble potato cake and the dim sim. Now, I'm pretty sure we were all in agreement that
dim sim.
Dimmy every day of your life.
Yeah. All day.
A bit of
all
soy
day,
sauce.
What won the vote last week?
The potato cake.
Did it?
What?
This was on Triple M, on the Triple M app.
Can I just say, on the
Facebook,
Triple M app.
Facebook and Facebook page.
16 votes split the public.
Out of how many votes?
10,000.
About, a couple of thousand there. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. Okay. Dimmy, I thought, what about this quick one, movie? Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, or Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Okay. Rosie?
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, okay.
Beautiful stuff there, Jay.
This might be okay. We'll keep rolling. I want that one up online this week, Rabs. Maldives or Vegas for accommodation airfares paid for, you have to take your partner.
I think we all know where that one's going to go.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon Vegas would... Oh, it's a tough one.
What did you say?
No, I'm thinking most people will pick Vegas.
I've been to both with Erin.
And? What was better?
She was pregnant in Vegas, so that sort of put a real dampener on Vegas. So maybe we should go back to Vegas and do it again properly.
Up with the question because he actually wants to go back there. All right, thanks,
Joey's
guys.
Joey's phone's just lit up.
Now, a bit of news floating around Jay-Z, and the biggest news when it came to selection this week was that Jared Roughead, Hawthorn's captain, he's been dropped.
Yeah, it was huge, Sarah, because he's probably one of the most beloved figures, not only at Hawthorn, but a across the league. And yes, his form hasn't been great. But when you're playing deep forward, Joey, as you know, he's sort of a victim of the team's form as well. So we know there was a big conversation at the end of last year. Clarko said, look, you know, do you want to go on? Is this the end? If you're going to play on, there might be some VFL time, and 8 rounds in. That's exactly what happened. Joey, what impact would this have on the rest of his teammates and for Jared Ruffhead? Would it be a really difficult pill to swallow? Because he is the spiritual leader of that group at the moment.
Well, first of all, of course it's a bitter pill to swallow for Ruffy, but he's going to take it in his stride and he'll do the best he can with what he'll do at VFL level and the way he'll conduct himself and externally the presence that he'll show around the football club, because that's just the type of guy he is. But no doubt it pricks the ego.
Yep.
You don't ever want to play reserves game of football, especially when you've been an absolute legend like Ruffy has. You're right, though. I mean, Clarko, we know he's a ruthless character. We've seen what he's done with the other Hawks greats. They did have the conversation that if he wasn't in the best 22... and obviously the way the Hawks are going and the call that Clarko made last week about they're not going to stay a middle-of-the-road team.
Yep.
I think the one player that actually is probably the why Ruffy's been a bit of a victim here is young Mitchell Lewis. I really like his last couple of weeks. He's showing a bit as a key forward. And
yep,
like what we saw last night with Blakey and a little bit of Tom McCartan without Buddy Franklin, it gives them an opportunity to really grow and develop a lot quicker. So I think Clarko wants to see Mitchell Lewis and Connor Nash, see if they can really develop as key forwards without Ruffy in the side. Because always, you know, he's a great player. But that's probably where Clarko's thinking is.
So he's looking towards his next premiership team, Clarko, already, and yep, he's ruthless like that. I want you to have a listen to Alistair Clarkson and then tell me whether you think, in hindsight, Jared Ruffhead should have played on. But here's Alistair Clarkson throughout the week.
Unfortunately, after trying over a period of weeks to have him play the role that we needed him to, he just wasn't measuring up in that department over the last couple of weeks. So we're trying a different mix in our forward in this week. Because he's out of the side, does that mean he's not going to play again for Hawthorn? I'd hope not. I'd hope he gets another chance. But like many players, he's in obviously the back end of his career, and the end is closer than the start, obviously.
Might not play another game this season.
Ruthless.
Yeah, it stung.
Yeah, look, it's the hardest thing ever as an older player to know when to pull the pin, because you always think you've got a little bit more to offer, and that's the decision that's so hard, whether, you know, it was about Brendan Goddard last year or all of us that went through it. You want to play on, but then you don't want this situation to happen where all of a sudden, you know, you've played 1 year too long and, you know, you might not get a game. And so it's a really tough call. There's no right or wrong. It's up to the individual to make the decision. Ruffy backed himself in. He said, I'm going to trust myself that my form will be good enough to continue to warrant a game. And you've got to give him credit for wanting to do that.
Yeah.
Others might say, you know what, I'll just go out with a little bit left in the tank because I don't want to, you know, not enjoy my last year of football or finish it in the reserves or whatever it is. So it's an individual decision. Ruffy went with that call and he has to stick by his decision and live with the consequences.
You talk about Mitchell Lewis before. Is there not room for both of them in a forward line and for Jared Ruffhead to perhaps play an educational role? I mean, he's got 281 games under his belt, 4 flags. There's a lot to learn from someone like that.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, I'm sure that he'll be helping the young key forwards out at training and he'll help the other young key forwards that are playing at Box Hill. I think he'll still play some senior footy, Ruffy. I think he'll get back in the side at some stage.
I tell you what he is. He will probably retire at season's end. I think we all think that. He should be the most in-demand retired player in the game. For any club next season, all 18 of them should be going after him, whether it's an admin role, a footy management role, whether it's in coaching or welfare, whatever. He would be absolutely perfect to play some sort of role as an incredibly highly respected former player. He's just going to be such an in-demand individual,
yeah,
and so he should be.
Yep, spot on. And I'll tell you who would be nervous would be the other veterans at Hawthorn.
Such as? Well,
you think about maybe like a Grant Birchall. Does he come back into the side if he's fully fit? Probably, if they're making decisions on guys like Ruffy, you know, Paul Puopolo, his form's only been okay. Do maybe Clarko start making calls on playing some other young kids as a small forward?
Silk
Burgoyne, yeah, I think he's still good enough.
It's hard to think he's ever going to be in trouble.
He's never going to be dropped, but that is now the decision. And then, as we just spoke about, some of these players have to make a hard call at the end of the season. Do they try and play an extra season and maybe be in a situation like Ruffy, or do they retire with a little bit left in the tank?
Yeah.
If you're Clarko, are you looking around the league to see, are there forwards now that I want to target to perhaps come in and be the next Ruffy if it's not going to be Lewis?
I've got no doubt Clarko is well ahead of the game. He's already got that earmark. Is it Johnny Patton? I don't know. John Patton could be someone the Hawks could target.
Very available, Joey. On decent coin up there at GWS. Had 3 knee recos. I don't expect him to be playing at GWS next year. Yep.
And he's looking to perhaps come to Melbourne.
I think that is a live option for him.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Do we have someone special on the line? It's the Tigers NBL legend, Leonard Copeland. Leonard, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Glad to be here. How are you guys?
We're doing very well, but how are you going? Because last night you received the huge honour of being inducted into the Australian Basketball Hall of Fame. Talk us through the experience.
Well, look, anytime you can be recognised by your peers and recognised by people in the sport, it's fantastic. You know, it gives you goosebumps. I still have goosebumps today because you don't realize what an impact you've had on the sport until people stand up and give you that standing ovation and people talk about, you know, your achievements.
And it is a bit of a time, Leonard, when you can self-indulge a little bit and reflect on your career and take it all in. Tell us a bit about what stands out for you, your career highlights. You know, you came to the Melbourne Tigers in 92 and you had such an amazing career. What sticks out for you as the most memorable experiences in your basketball career?
Well, you know, a lot of people will say championships and you know, I think for me, though, mostly it's the friends that I've met through the journey. I mean, I'm a black guy from Atlanta, Georgia, and in a million years I never expected to be living in Australia playing basketball and, you know, being friends with the friends that I have. You know, I play golf with Andrew Gaze and Mark Brackey and Nigel Purchase every Friday morning. And these guys, I met my first couple of days here in Australia, and we've been friends ever since. So my journey, you know, has been fantastic. A couple of championships. I made NBA. I played college basketball. You know, I've scored a lot of points. But again, it's the friends that you meet along the journey.
How cool is it, the names he mentions there? He plays golf with Bradkey and Purchase. It just brings back memories, doesn't it? When we were kids and used to go to the basketball every Friday and Saturday night, it's awesome.
I used to sneak out of bed at 10:30 to watch the delayed broadcast on Channel 10. Did not miss it. The rivalry with Perth, Leonard, it was awesome. But tell us about your on-field chemistry with Gazy, because watching you guys back in the day as a 10, 12-year-old, I mean, it was the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, that combination of the NBL. How did it feel when you guys were out in the court? Because it just felt like you had that synergy, Leonard.
Well, most people say that. I mean, everyone that we know say you guys play well together. But it just happened. I think it was just meant to be. I mean, I didn't know Andrew Gaze, and Andrew Gaze didn't know me. And all of a sudden, he makes a pass, and I dunk it, and I give him a pass, and he shoots it. And we just started feeding off each other's energy. I think the best thing about our relationship is we were so competitive. If he had 30 points, I wanted to get 30. Or if he knocked down a shot, I wanted to knock down a shot. But we weren't enemies. We were
That's cool.
Teammates. And we helped each other to get to where we needed to get to. And I think that respect amongst each other helped us throughout our career.
So that follows on to the next question, Leonard. When you talk about the competitiveness with Gazy, who takes the money on the golf course? Do you get competitive with one another? How does that work?
Let me tell you something. Yep. We are competitive with everything there is. If I get to the golf course before him, I win. There is nothing in life that we're not competitive with. And, you know, the funny thing is we're 2 days apart. His birthday is the 24th, mine's the 26th. So I don't know what it is, but it's just something about everything I do, he has to have a part of it, and everything he does, I need a part of it. So it's just the way it is.
Just got a text message through here on the line from an Andrew from Sydney. I was a much better shooter than Leonard. Don't you? Hey, is it right, Leonard, that I can't believe this. You'll have to set the record straight here. Is it right that you did not make the cut for your high school basketball team? And if so, have you since gone back to the coach that made that boneheaded decision?
Well, I got cut 2 years in a row, my junior year and my senior year.
Wow.
And to be honest, I must say, I just probably wasn't good enough. The team was very good. I wanted to play basketball, and I was a basketball junkie. But, and I have seen him since then, and I sort of wanted to rub it in a little bit. But, you know, in hindsight, he did me a favor. He made me go out and work harder and harder. And at the end of the day, I put that time in and then walked on to a college team and got a four-year scholarship. And then from there, it's been heaven. So, I'm appreciative that he cut me because he just told me I wasn't good enough. And he made me go out and work on my game a little bit harder.
Yeah, I think we're all lucky for that, what the coach did, because it made all of us enjoy our basketball as a young adults growing up. Now, Leonard, Australian basketball has been better for having you stay in the country and being involved in basketball. You've done a lot of things with coaching and all those sorts of things. What does the future look like for you with Australian basketball in Australia?
Well, as you know, we coached the Sydney Kings for 3 years, and although we didn't win a championship, I'm very proud that we were able to win as many games as we did last year. Now, we had a lot of talent, and everyone expects you to win when you have talent, but you have to put that talent together. You have to, and that talent has to want to play together. I mean, you know, there's stints where we just didn't look good on the floor, but then at the end of the day, we got it done. We won 18 games, and Melbourne United won 18 games, and Perth won 18 games. Those two teams went on to play in the grand final. But I must say, I'm proud of the way we handled it.
Yep.
I won't be going back to Sydney, but I'm hoping to stay here in Melbourne and sort of, you know, help out with the young kids. I do a morning program, and I'm just helping out with kids right now. But who knows what's going to happen.
What about the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, the new team? Lenard, have they knocked on the door and just said, someone of your caliber with your coaching and basketball experience, can you help out?
I'm sure there's a million guys with their hands up trying to get a job there. And I'm available, but, you know, right now we'll just see what happens.
Beautiful. It's a wait-and-see game then, Lenard. Well, thank you so much for your time. The latest inductee into the Australian Basketball Hall of Fame just last night. Congratulations,
legend.
Lenard.
Congratulations,
and thanks
legend.
For your time.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
What a cool dude. Imagine when he, back in the day, when he walked down Chapel Street, they reckon the seas just parted for him.
Yes, like,
absolutely.
Yes.
He's an absolute rocker. Hey, quick Western Conference Finals update. It's a tight one to begin with. The Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets, 10 points apiece. Halfway through that first term, no Kevin Durant for the Warriors. Out with that calf strain.
Now, Joey, your top five. Give it to us. What is it today?
Well, during the week, we were chatting about potentially guys you'd love to have a beer with in the AFL.
Oh, I like
so whatever these ones, you go, yeah, seems like a type bloke I'd like to have a beer with. Yeah. And then I mentioned that, well, when you play a footy for a long time, there's this sort of code or a bit of a brotherhood. When you bump into a player that you've played a lot of footy against, you have that mutual respect. You always go over and say g'day and have a little bit of a chat.
Yep.
But then you end up sometimes having a night out with them.
Yeah.
And I was having a think about some places where, at a random, where it wasn't planned, you end up bumping into opposition players that you then end up having a beer with and go, you know what? I really like that bloke. He's a ripper.
Yeah.
So the first one, and it goes back and probably doesn't quite fall in this category, but it was a bit of a unique experience. We, about six of us, went to Thailand end of one season. The Saints boys at a bar, and we see Aaron Edwards sitting on his own. Remember, Aaron Edwards played at Kangaroos in Richmond. He was at the bar by himself.
Yep.
So we sort of said, what are you doing here, Aaron? He goes, well, Kangaroos are on their footy trip, and I'm barred. I'm not allowed to go with them. So he wasn't allowed to go on the footy trip. So he was on his own. So for whatever reason, he ended up tagging along with us for the night. And we had a night out with Aaron Edwards. Just a random night out. And then we never saw him again. And it was one of those ones where, like, did that just really happen?
Honorary saint for the night.
An honorary saint for the night. So Aaron Edwards
likes a good time.
Yeah, he does have a good, likes a good time. So we had a good night there. Another time was a few years ago with a few of my schoolmates. Got asked to go over to Singapore to do a function Grand Prix weekend. Singapore Grand Prix weekend.
Wow.
It's the prelim week of the finals. Went over to a function there. Went to one of the pre-Grand Prix parties. And there's Simon Black. Now, I love Blackie, and I saw in the Herald Sun today, Robert, he is a walk-up Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He is one of the greats of all time. Well, not only is he one of the greats of all time on the field, he's one of the greats off the field. We had so much fun with Simon Black. One of my best mates is a Brisbane Lions fan, so he lost it. So he claims now Blackie's his best mate.
Yeah.
But he's a bit like Lenny Hayes from our experience. One of those guys, just an absolute gentleman and a ripping footballer, but then enjoys himself and great company. So Simon Black was a great night out with him.
1 year after, I think he finished third in the Brownlow medal back in, I don't even remember.
Oh, but 06 or 07?
Yeah, I was 10. I was much younger. He gave me a piggyback at 4 a.m. in the Brownlow after.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Blackie.
Great, yeah, Simon Black. So that was a nice time.
Number three.
Well, random one was took Erin. We went on our honeymoon. We went to Sri Lanka and we went down to this little surf beach, like away from Colombo, called Marissa. Just this tiny little surf beach, little village. And we're sunbaking on the beach one day. And next minute I look up and I'm like, is that Ed Curnow walking past me on the beach, like, on his own? I'm like, out of all the places in the world, those small little bit, it was Ed Curnow.
Was he surfing? He's a big surfer.
He's a surfer. So I went up and said, g'day, and you have a chat. Ed, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm on my own. I'm just doing a little bit of a surfing safari before. He was doing something with some other AFL players in a week's time. So we went early and was on a surfing trip. So we have a chat, as you do. Where are you staying? Oh, around the corner. So we actually decided, this is true, why don't we go for a run together? Because you've got to do your training when you're overseas. So why don't we go for a run together? So we decided to meet up at 5 o'clock, brought our runners on. I went for a run with Ed Curnow.
Was that a bad idea?
It was a bad idea. Yeah. You know what? Halfway through, I was huffing and puffing. And I could tell, everyone knows how good Ed Curnow was,
so
like just cruising.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, if you want to take off and go a bit harder, you can. Well, you should have seen it. He went whooshka and he just left me for dead. head.
Gold.
And I knew I was getting towards the end of my career then. I was like, wow. Anyway, we agreed then afterwards, after we did the run, what do you do, Jay? We've had a run together.
A few beers.
So he came back to the hotel. We sat in the pool by my hotel for about 4 or 5 hours having a few beers with Ed Kerner, who... Oh, by the way, he was my toughest opponent as a tagger. He used to terrorise me and used to get into a bit of a few fracas, but then lovely fella.
Ripper guy.
Ed Kerner. So I had a ripper. So that was in Sri Lanka. And then last one.
Bring it home.
A random time on the honeymoon. Actually, this was the honeymoon time. The other one, Sri Lanka, was just a holiday with Aaron. But this honeymoon, we went to Nice, the south of France. We were going all through Europe. We did Italy. We did Paris. Caught the train down to Nice, another beautiful little town south of France. Walk into the hotel foyer, and there's Heath Grundy from the Sydney Swans sitting there with his wife, Elise. It's like, wow, out of all places in the world, we're in the same hotel in the south of France. So we stop and have a chat, and say, what are you guys up to? And Heath Grundy and Elise say, well, we're about to jump in a taxi, 45-minute taxi ride down to the Monaco Casino. And I was like, wow, I'd love to go to the Monaco, where the Monaco Grand Prix track is and the Monaco Casino. And I said, but unfortunately, you need a jacket. You need to wear a jacket. It's very strict. And I didn't bring a blazer or a jacket with me. And Heath goes, don't worry, I've got a spare one. I said, Heath, you're about twice my size.
Be like putting your dad's jacket on.
But I wanted to go to the Monaco just to have a look, experience the casino and go down to Monaco. So I borrowed one of Heath Grundy's jackets. The girls all got dressed up. We all caught a cab together. 45 minutes in the cab. We had a night out at the Monaco Casino with Heath Grundy's wife, Elise. Had a ripping night. Caught a cab back at about 2 a.m. And then we went on our separate ways and continued on our holiday. So it's amazing where all over the world you can still bump into AFL players. And when you've played a bit of footy together, you have that bit of a chat. And sometimes leads to a night out.
Outstanding.
Did you clean up at the casino that night?
I think it was like it was like $50 or $100 minimum bets. Mm. So okay. There wasn't too much playing, especially with our wives there. It wasn't like we were, it was just a little play just to experience it and have a bit of fun.
I don't gamble. Yeah. I don't do that.
$100 on black or red.
Challenge for you next week.
Yes. Yeah,
top five. Top five blokes I wouldn't have a beer with from the AFL. Have you
conjured that list? I've got a list of about 15.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Give me a spell, Channel 9, for not making the announcement that the footy show was going to cease production before the show. I wanted a celebratory episode, a farewell episode, a best of episode where they just go back and recap all the amazing moments. Big Bill's house, Shane Crawford with his makeup on. It was back in the day.
Good point.
It was must watch, and I wanted to see the best bits all over again, and I hope it happens.
Yep.
Could still be to come, that show, no?
Maybe. Well, I think if it was going to be their last episode, say that, and then we can just enjoy it and embrace it.
It was brutal, wasn't it? Joey?
Might give me a spell. Colleague here. Yeah, we're talking about one of the great players of the competition. Actually, he's the number one player in the competition at the moment. I think he deserves a bit more respect.
Absolute ripping fella, Pitchard Craps. That Crips, I was on our...
Sorry, hang on.
Rosie,
can we have that again? Who's a ripping fella?
Absolute ripping fella, Pitchard Craps. That Crips that was on our
Pitchard Craps.
I'm sure you met Paddy Cripps, who's playing today. He's the biggest name in the game. I thought you would know who he was, Jay. If you love your football, come on, mate, give me a spell.
Butchered it, didn't I?
All right, give me a spell, Kasumi. I flagged it before that's where we're going tomorrow for Mother's Day lunch with my gorgeous mum, Geraldine. Happy Mother's Day, Jez. Only set menus.
Really?
What if I don't want the edamame?
Yes.
What if I only want the sushi?
Oh,
give me a spell, yes. Kasumi.
Oh, Kasumi. Oh, very good. Well, we only got a minute left on the show, and we always finish on a positive.
Yep.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
And you just touched on it, Sarah. Mother's Day tomorrow. So we are Dead Set Legending all the mums that are out there in the cars right now, driving their sons and daughters to soccer, to basketball, taking them to their parties today. If you're in the car, kids, and you got your mum there, tell her how much you love her. Say thank you, mum, for everything you do for us, because without our mums, none of us would be where we are today. So I want to wish my mum a happy Mother's Day for tomorrow. We'll see her for lunch, especially to Erin, her first Mother's Day.
That's
she's
special.
Been brilliant for little Noah. He's a little champion and she's doing a great job as a mum. So all the mums out there, Dead Set Legends of the Week. They should be Dead Set Legends permanently.
Yeah, well, my mum's my Dead Set Legend every day of the week.
Exactly.